chapter 16, Revelation 16, study 15. We'll go through these questions again, and then we'll go do a review on about chapter 12 through. Well, there's just so much stuff in Revelation. I want to do a review every 3 or 4 weeks anyway, so we can, you know, try to remember something. There's just too much stuff. There's so much stuff in there to remember. But the idea is when you read through it again, you know, some of these things will click. And that's what we always hope for, amen. So in chapter 16, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So who is pouring out the vials? Seven angels. Seven angels. Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. The vials are the wrath of God. So that's the second one. Seven angels are pouring out the vials. The vials are the wrath of God. Verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So the first vial caused noisome and grievous sores upon those who had taken the mark of the beast, and upon them that had worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. So the second vial changed the sea to blood. And the fifth question here, we'll read, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. So the third vial, the rivers and fountains of waters become blood. Verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. The fourth vial was poured out upon the sun. And power was given to that angel to scorch men with fire. And the fifth vial, verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. So the fifth vial was poured out upon the blank of the beast, the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, right? So they'd rather follow the devil than the Lord. You can do anything you want except get right with God and be all right with the devil. But the only way to be right with God is follow his word and do right by his son. The sixth angel, let's see the vial here. And the sixth angel poured out his vial, verse 12, upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and it was dried up. Seventh vial. Let's go to verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out the vial, out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The seventh vial was poured out into the air, and thunders and lightnings and earthquakes began. So we talked about this before, and we can find it in verse 11, too. But in the 10th one here, through these terrible judgments, men blaspheme God and refuse to repent. Verse 11 talks about this. It says, and blaspheme God, the God of heaven, because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. They just kept doing the wrong thing. And really, let's practically apply that to today. So, in the 20s, they're fussing and fighting over Israel, whether they're going to give the land back to them. And they're stabbing Israel in the back, setting up things for Israel. They Balfour Declaration and all that. They the stage was being set for them to get their part of their land back. And then different leaders done different things, so they didn't get all their land back. And then what happens? The Great Depression. Right? The United States wasn't helping the Jews. We were kind of in and out. We're kind of lukewarm on that stuff. And we had a chance to avoid, to help them avoid by taking in a lot of the Jews before Hitler destroyed a bunch of them. We didn't do it. And then on and on and on it goes. And you get up to the different things that have happened in this country, different storms and things, and the 9/11 and all that stuff. And this country still does not repent of its deeds. So where are we headed? Judgment. I mean, God taking his hand off this place. You can see at different times he took his hand off and things that happened. And, you know, the Bible's practical. It's not just something that you can look at and say, well, Israel did this wrong, this is what happened to them. And in Revelation, this is what happened. You can practically apply this stuff. You can see that men not repenting of their deeds, where it leads. Leads to judgment. And even when judgment's fallen, they still don't repent. And they're in darkness, really. If you look at what's going on with the politicians, they're going to fix it because they're going to make the bank account good. That's what they all promise. They ain't none of them going to do it. But they promise that. But the problem's not the lack of money in the bank. The lack of money in the bank is a side effect of the problem. The problem is a lack of the Bible in the country. And a lack of biblical truth and a lack of biblical following biblical principles. So they're looking at the wrong thing. And I was really hopeful when the Speaker of the House got in and started talking about being a Bible believer. He's a flake. He ain't gonna do anything either. No, seriously. He's one of them. They're all swamp monsters. You know, and it ain't gonna get any better until the Lord fixes it. But you'll see glimmers of hope here and there. That's what the devil will do, and you'll see. Who knows? The Lord might even let Trump get in again. The bank account might start looking good again. I don't think so. But I think probably to get everything lined out in Jerusalem, the way the Antichrist is going to come in and take over and everything, I think God allowed Trump in there to do that. I think we'll probably get another, you know, 605 billion votes for a date ahead or something. You know. Who knows? They probably already counted them. It's probably already over. But, who knows? But you get, this country has actually, what we have now is mercy. He represents the politicians that we have. God allows them in there because they represent the majority of the country. Even though the country says they don't, this we become a country of selfish, godless, depraved, money mongers. And what do we have leading the country? Selfish, godless, depraved, money mongers. And we go, well, look what they're doing. Look what his family's doing. Look what the whole country's doing. It's every man for himself. You know, there really is no thought of God in much of the country anymore. So we have representatives that represent the majority of this nation. Right? I mean, think about it. What's everybody... They're not concerned about church. They're not concerned about the Bible. They're not concerned about Jesus Christ. They're not concerned about pleasing God. They're concerned about pleasing the flesh. That's what the majority of the country is. That's what the majority of the world is. And that's what the majority of the world leaders are. That's who they are. God allows it. You want a king? I'll give you a king. All right? King Biden. How about that? Or Trump, that one was Trump. Amen. King Trump. Whatever. But the thing is, nobody's looking for King Jesus. They want Trump on the throne or Biden on the throne. And, you know, I don't disagree with a lot of things that Trump says. Don't get me wrong. I think the UN shouldn't be in New York. I don't think we ought to be funding that mess. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I think that I agree with that stuff. I agree that, you know, I wouldn't say that I agree with America first. I would say put Jesus first, put the Bible first, and then God will put America where he wants it. But I do agree that if we're going to try to live on Bible principles, we shouldn't be pandering to heathens in other countries. We shouldn't be selling out to China and these other places. But, you know, politics. Many politics, many bloodsuckers, right? So what are you going to do? What's that? Oh, he's flipped off on all kinds of stuff. When I seen him waving a rainbow flag first round, I thought, whatever. Brother? Well, where it all went bad was they wanted a king. They wanted a king like all the other heathen nations had a king. So God finally said, you want a king? I'll give you a king. Gives them Saul. And then Saul represents the people. He was representative of their heart, partially obedient, which is disobedient. And then, through his mercy, he gives them David, great king. Had some great problems, but he was a great king. Matter of fact, he's Jesus Christ, has come from that lineage to sit on his throne. But you look at their leadership up and down, they had good kings, they had bad kings. And well, Nebuchadnezzar had some moments of hope. After he ate grass for a while, he had a moment of hope. But he had an opportunity, and he was a good king, and God used him to take care of Israel. God used a lot of heathens to take care of Israel when they're out of his will even. But he had an opportunity to glorify the God of creation, and he took the glory instead and ended up eating grass out in the wilderness. But then he came to himself. We don't have any leaders that are coming to the reality of spiritual. Spiritually, I mean, this place is dark. Spiritually, there's just not much hope from man. It's better to trust the Lord for confidence in man anyway, but we're at a point now where you just, you know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, knowing that the Lord's going to come back and he's going to bring them that peace eventually. What do we do in the meantime? We pray and tell people how to get saved. But, yeah, like I say, I don't know. I would say that when this country was founded, men lost and saved feared the Bible, feared the Lord. And even though a lot of the people that founded it weren't necessarily blood-bought, born again, they had a fear of God and a respect for the Bible. And everything this country, all the principles that are in our, most of the principles, a lot of the principles in our judicial system, constitution and stuff, come from Bible principles. But there's one thing glaringly missing out of the Constitution and out of all of our founding paperwork, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, it talks about God. So there was they weren't godless non-believers in that sense. But I believe a lot of them were lost. They just had a fear of God and respect for the Word, which even saved people don't have anymore, a lot of them. But, yeah, the country, God blessed it because they were at least trying to go by His Word. And I think some of them were probably saved. A lot of them were probably saved. But, you know, it's just kind of funny, you know, and that's why there's always this battle over everything. well, God-given rights, God-given rights. Most of the people that are claiming these God-given rights don't even know who God is. You know, and the name Jesus Christ is so polarizing and that they wouldn't even put it in the founding paperwork. Now, you had me up here writing it. I'm not that good with, somebody else penned it out, and I said, yeah, it looks good, I'll tell you how to get it matched up with Bible principles. And I just said, we put Jesus Christ all over that. You put the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the beginning, the middle, the end, and put him first in everything. That'd be my vote. So I don't know exactly what they were thinking or why they didn't do that. I know they probably thought, well, this generic God is not, we're running from a place that we don't want the state-sponsored religion, so we got to keep a more generic, well, God's not going to bless that the way he would have blessed it if they'd just been honest and said, look, you're going to burn in hell if you don't trust Jesus Christ, and we need to get this country in line with that book. I think that's, but we've got a lot of people here that love the Lord, and a lot of people that did throughout the years that I think God blessed this place because just like he was going to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for, got down to what, 5 or so? I think that's why his mercy's still being dumped out on this place, this world, let alone this country. But well, if they're not worshiping the Lord and the God of Genesis 1:1, they're really all the same God. It's the devil, or a devil. They do all have. When the Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 6 about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places, there are spiritual entities that rule all the world. Like Russia's got their own spiritual entity probably, and China their own spiritual entity, and all these different. But they're all devils, unless it's Jesus Christ and God of Genesis 1:1. So really this country doesn't even have. Yeah, and then you have to sift through history to see what was true, because a lot of history has been rewritten and changed so you can believe that we come over here as the bad guys and killed all the Indians. Well, the truth is the Catholics were coming over here, the conquistadors, their conquerors were going around the world. They weren't trading beaver pelts for black pepper. They were killing people and taking things. Convert to Catholicism, we'll chop your head off. And then the pilgrims and stuff, when they come over here, a lot of those folks were getting along with the Indians. And there is probably some truth to, bringing smallpox over and stuff and bringing different diseases over that eradicated, that killed off some of the Indians or whatever. But the truth is really hard to find in man's written history. I mean, Christopher Columbus and Amerigo, all these people that you're talking about, they weren't people just looking for a new world. They were conquerors. And they were Roman Catholic conquerors. They were murderers. They went to conquer and take land. And the only people that have any right to conquer and take land is Israel. I mean, they have a God-given right to take their land. It's God's land. They have a God-given right to have that land. I mean, it's his name on the deed. He can do what he wants with it. I mean, you can say, well, God created the world. He owns the whole place. Yeah, but he gave the devil. This world belongs to the little g God right now, the devil. But that piece of dirt over there, Israel, that's still under contract between Israel and the Lord. That's not going to change. And the Lord's not happy about what's going on. But he's allowing that because of Israel's disobedience. Because of crucifixion in Christ and their statement, his blood be upon us and upon our children, and we'll have no king but Caesar. What was Caesar? Rome. Guess who's running everything now? Rome. You know why? Because they'll have no king but Caesar. Well, eventually they're going to, okay, well, we don't want Caesar anymore. We want Jesus Christ. He's Jewish descent too. Anyway, they're mostly on the wrong page spiritually anyway, so right now. But they're still God's chosen people. We need to pray for them, brother. Well, I'll tell you this for sure. I know this from preaching in the prison for about 9 years, every Sunday for about 9 years. I had a lot of people come in here and got saved, and they've been going to churches that were Jew-hating churches. I mean, just totally hated Israel and the Jews, and I had them, you know, I had them say to me during services, oh, Jews, they cause all these problems. And I said, let me show you something in the Bible. Go back to Genesis. Let me tell you where the problem is. The problem is, they'll bless him and bless him, curse him and curse him. The problem is, you've got to be on the right side of history. Don't worry about what the Jews are doing. Worry about what God said. You know? Yeah, I mean, that's been the consensus from the Catholic Church forever. And Luther didn't let go of that part. He was still very anti-Semitic. Matter of fact, he hung on to that very tightly. That's what the popes back then were putting out. Matter of fact, I was just listening to a message talking about a booklet, a 50-page booklet that the popes put out when they were trying to give the land back to the Jews. They put out against the Jews to turn the world against the Jews so they wouldn't get their land back, about the Jews going to be trying to take over the world. Well, they're partially right, but there's a Jew that's going to take over the world, and his name's Jesus Christ. You know, they can't kill him. They tried that, didn't work out. They can't get rid of him. They can't get rid of his word. So what do they try to do? Get rid of his people. What's that? Yeah, but they've got everybody turned against them almost. I mean, most churches now are anti-Semitic. Probably two-thirds or more of them, just a guess, but probably two-thirds or more churches are anti-Semitic and think that we've replaced Israel. Yeah. Yeah, and they're really... is no such thing as a Palestinian or a Palestinian state. And I don't think there will be. There's always going to be that push and that battle, but there's going to be the Lord come back, take this thing over here in about 7 years and 15 minutes, hopefully. Yeah, yeah, that replacement theology. And it's not just, Baptists aren't immune from that. Some of the Baptists have that too. You know, or some of the churches that claim to be Baptist, whatever. But, yeah, the whole replacement theology thing. Really, Romans chapter 11 is a humbling chapter. You read it as a Gentile, as a born-again believer, and what God has done and the reason he's done it. It's not, he didn't turn, he told Israel before, he said, I'm gonna be on your side. You're going to win, not because you're good, but because they're so bad. So Israel got so bad that he would accept us. I mean, he didn't come to us because, man, they're just great. He came to us because Israel got so bad, they kept rejecting him. They rejected him, Father, Son, and Spirit, Holy Spirit, before the end of the book of Acts. They totally rejected him. And then the Gentiles were coming after him. And then the dogs eat the crumbs off the master's table, right? And then he said, well... no, you guys are so great. No, he didn't say that. He said, you want to worship me? Come on over. But anyway, let's get back to this. I think we're done with this sheet. Let's go ahead and go over a few things real quick. Let's go back to chapter. Well, you don't even really need to go back. I can ask you questions. You'll probably know. Well, go ahead and go back to chapter 12. Chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Who's that woman? And who? Israel. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And you go on down through here, and it shows that for sure it's Israel. And she brought forth, verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Okay, so the 12 stars it's talking about in these passages talks as representative of what? Tribes of Israel. All right. The man-child in verse 5 is the one to rule all nations with a rod of iron, Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to 13, chapter 13. So this beast had a deadly wound, and all the world wondered after the beast. So we see this deadly wound. We see him healed, and then the world's wondering after the beast. They're going after the beast. How are they doing that? How's the devil able to get the whole world to go after him? By heresy. Signs and wonders. They're for the Jews. You know what the whole world's looking for? Even the Gentiles right now, they're always talking about signs and wonders. The charismatic movement has been one of the most dangerous movements to set up the Antichrist kingdom as there ever was. This whole thing about speaking in tongues and all these signs and wonders and all these fakers out there. Everybody's looking for a sign, and we're not Jews. The Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. So the beast is going to be able to do these signs and get the whole world. There's the signs we've been looking for. And they're going to turn to the beast and say, that's God right there. That's the one. And talking about the way people have been conditioned to look at things. And remember this beast, if you look at it, he likened to a leopard. His feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. So you see this bizarre thing, but people are being, they've been conditioned. I think 1977 was a big deal for conditioning when Star Wars came out. Because now you got talking animals and all that. I mean, they had them in cartoons anyway, but now you got these talking animals that are so human-like, and they're hanging out with humans and all this stuff. As the devil's subtle, more subtle than any beast of the field. So people are going to see this weird stuff, and they're not going to think a big deal of it anymore. You know, you seen King Kong walking down the street 40 years ago, you go, good night. Now people are like, look, man, that's what we've been watching on TV. You know. But crazy stuff. Okay. The mark of the beast will be given in the right or the... So without the mark, people can't buy or sell. So 13, 18. 13 is the number of rebellion. 18, 6 plus 6 plus 6 gives us what the number of the beast is. And it's the number of a man. And it's 666. All right, chapter 14. Let's see. And I looked and and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000 having the Father's name written in their foreheads. So the devil's marked his, God's marked his. And these 144,000 are male, Jewish, virgins. 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. What's the other chapter in Revelation that talks about the 144,000? There's two chapters. 7 and 14. So multiples of 7 and 14. God likes the number 7 too. And those, they just show up in 7 and 7 times 2, 14. So I'm telling you, this book is amazing. There's so much stuff in there, we haven't even scratched the surface of it. I don't even know anything about this Bible. We think we do, but this thing's got so much in it, it's unreal, brother. Well, the... His tribulation, yeah, they're marked in their forehead, just forehead, yeah. So the beast, the beast gets marked in the forehead or the hand, and that there are some people that kind of extrapolate and think maybe and probably that some of the folks get their hands chopped off, so they're marked in the forehead because they're back under law and stuff like that. Who knows? I don't know for sure if that's true, but God's marking his in the forehead, his 144,000, brother. Yeah, they're raptured up out of here. Yeah. We'll get into a... Well, my guess is 777. That'd be my guess, because the devil's mark of the beast is his number, number of his name, 666. So, and 6 is the number of man, and 7 is the number of perfection and completion. So my guess would be 777 right in their forehead. But I'm not 100% sure about that. That's just a guess. I think it makes sense, but it might be wrong. Might be wrong. It definitely won't be 666. Wrong God there. All right, let's look a couple more quick ones, and then we'll take a break. So again, I mean, that's a very, very compelling argument against the Jehovah's Witnesses and God's through with Israel and all the replacement theology, is in the future, which Revelation is in the future, the majority of it, he's still talking about 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes. He's still talking about tribes. And even the Jehovah's Witnesses don't think they're part of tribes. So they just have to throw out a bunch of Bible to believe that. Chapter 15. Okay, verse 2. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of gold of God. Excuse me. So these people here, they overcome. They had victory by what? To the end. Enduring to the end. Remember, enduring to the end can mean one of two things. And the tribulation is talking about people that endure to their end, where they get their head chopped off for not taking a mark. They endure and they don't cave in to the compromise, the spirit of God. They are led by truth and don't give in to compromise, or they endure to the end of the tribulation and go on into the millennial reign. So when enduring the end, it's not talking about you and I enduring the end. Now, wives, you're married, you're enduring the end, right? But not for salvation. Oh, you're all right. We're wrapping this up. So the law shows man what before God? Guilty. The law is to make us guilty. It's not to get us saved. And the prophets point to... Anybody remember? Everybody... The prophets point to the coming of Jesus Christ. They also... Elijah is a representative of that. You got Moses and Elijah. We don't have time. I'm past time. We need to get into a bigger study on Moses and Elijah. We'll do that sometime. And there's absolutely no way you can read the Bible and say, well, the tribulation witnesses are Enoch and Methuselah or something. You know, you can't do that. It's obvious who they are. Well, real quick, I'll tell you why. Here's why. When Jesus Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration, who was with him? Moses and Elijah. You know what the Bible says? In the mouth of two or more witnesses. Who witnesses Jesus Christ's deity? The law and the prophets. So there they are. So the two witnesses, obviously, the two witnesses, you can almost exchange the name witness for Moses and Elijah. They were witnesses on the Mount of Transfiguration. What were they for? A sign for the Jews. They showed up with Jesus Christ. And then they're witnesses in the tribulation. We know they they're able to stop the rain and do all the plagues Moses did. There's Moses and Elijah. I'm 100% sure on that. I mean, that's the only thing I'd ever argue with God on. Are you sure, God? You sure that ain't Moses and Elijah? But that's Moses and Elijah. They are the two witnesses. They witnessed the Jesus Christ deity on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were the two witnesses showing Israel, this is your Messiah, and you crucified him.